All right, well, good evening to you, and to those who might be listening in tonight on the internet, on the live stream. Let's just do this. We're going to get straight into the scriptures tonight, but let's go ahead and do this. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer, and we'll ask the Lord's help tonight. Our Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come and study your word and worship and share prayer requests and all the things that we get to do tonight. And Lord, I just pray that you'd take the word of God and use it in our hearts. Father, tonight we want to pray for those who are not here for whatever reason, whether it's sickness or infirmity or discouragement, or whatever it may be that keeps them out, Lord. We just pray for them. Pray for your grace and your mercy and your help for them. We pray that even though they're not here present with us, that they would draw near to you, that you'd remind them that God's people are meeting, and Lord, you just be there with them. And Lord, as we draw near, that they would draw near. And Lord, I just pray you'd help each one. And Father, we want to pray also for those that are here. We're thankful for them. We just pray you bless them for coming tonight and use your word in our hearts. Father, we also want to pray for this nation. We've got upcoming elections. And Lord, we don't deserve your mercy, but we're asking for your mercy. We're asking that you would open the eyes of the people to see that they would vote in such a way that would fall out to righteousness and the furtherance of the gospel. Father, we pray for our leaders, our president, and our Congress, our judges, and those that are there in Washington, for our governor, for the state legislatures and courts, and our local leaders and mayors and county commissioners and supervisors. And Lord, we just ask that you would, first of all, we pray for their salvation. Pray you'd open their heart to understanding the gospel, and if there are any among them that are saved, that you'd that their hearts would be drawn near to you, to where they would seek to do what is good and righteous and just. And Lord, we also want to pray that, Lord, that you'd open their eyes to the damage that's being done to our nation. We pray, Father, that you'd let them see and convict them of the sins that they've committed, and the wicked things that they've done, and Lord, the betrayal of the constituents. And Lord, we just pray that you have mercy on this nation and open our eyes. Father, we don't deserve your mercy. We deserve your judgment. And we know there's a day that judgment is coming. But Father, we just ask that you'd be merciful and give us more opportunity to get the gospel out to people. Lord, help us in the churches to be bold and have the zeal to share the gospel, to share our testimony of salvation with other people. Lord, how shall they hear without a preacher? Lord, we've already been sent. We just need to do our part. So help us to believe your word and help us to trust you and do what we're supposed to do. Pray for the churches here that are Bible-believing churches, that you'd help the preachers and each person to just grow up in the Lord and become what we need to be as churches. Father, we just pray for the ministries here, that you'd help us to do them and accomplish them. Help us to reach our area and as far as we can with the gospel. We pray, Father, that you would, for our missionaries, pray, Lord, that you would provide for their needs. Give them favor and grace in the sight of the people that they've gone to reach. Lord, pray you deal with those folks that are there in those countries or those locations, wherever they're at. And Lord, I just pray you would give them boldness to preach the gospel without fear. We just pray for the salvation of souls. Lord, there's folks in the military, and we just pray for their salvation as well. And a lot of them are being put in bad situations, in harm's way, sometimes where it doesn't need to be. And Lord, we just pray that you would help them, pray for their salvation, and pray, Lord, that you would bring them home safely. And for our first responders and those that are here, we're just thankful for the fact that there's still people that are willing to lay their life on the line to help other folks. Lord, I just pray you'd help them to see their need of a Savior. Sometimes folks like that, especially police officers, they see so much wickedness and so much bad things that they wonder, and it eats at them. So, Lord, I just pray for their salvation, and you'd help them get through that. Father, I just pray tonight you'd help me to be a blessing. You know our needs. You know everything that we're dealing with. And there's nothing that's hid from your eyes, Father. So help us to just be open and honest and humble ourselves before you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, let's take our Bibles, if you would, and let's turn to the book of Psalms. Psalm 27 tonight. Psalm 27. Psalm 27. We'll begin reading in verse 1. Psalm 27 and verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies, and my foes came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies. For false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. And I just pray you bless the reading of it. Help me preach it faithfully. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now there are prophecies there that talk about and hearken to the Messiah. About verse 12, about false witnesses arisen up against him and breathe out such as breathe out cruelty. And there's been many people that have been falsely accused, and we could talk about that. There's some wonderful prophecies in here that we can look at, but I want to look at starting at verse 7 primarily. You know, verse 1 starts out and it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" That's a good question. If the Lord is your light and your salvation, who should you fear? What person should you fear? If he's the strength of your life, of what person should you be afraid? Why should we be afraid of what people say or people do. He said, when the wicked, even my enemies and my foes came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. You know, if you're going to have enemies, and we're going to have enemies, by the way, it's best that your enemies be the wicked and not the just. So you're going to have enemies, and don't be surprised about that. But nonetheless, the bottom line is we can go through this, and many a preacher has grabbed on to that old adage and almost cliche now, even though it's true, it's 100% true. You know, I've read the end of the book, we win, that type of thing like that. There's been a lot of people that have preached that, and it's true, but. But we know at the end we win, but we're not talking about the end right now. We're talking about now. We're talking about now. And he goes on and he says that, though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. And so what is it that we have to be confident in? And I'll get to verse 7 and 8 and following in a moment. But what is it that we're supposed to have confidence in? Well, he said, my confidence is this. One thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. He said, while I live on this earth, while I live on this earth, I want to be able to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in His temple. Now, I know that translates to heaven as well, but notice something. The idea is this is a psalm of David, and David is talking not just about what's to come, he's talking about right now. I wonder how it would be if people would say, one thing I've desired of the Lord is that I could get to His house and dwell in His house. And we say, we call the church the house of God, in the sense we don't have a temple, we have a church building and all that, and the actual habitation is the church. But you could take that out to that point, to be with God's people, to be in the midst of the church. If we go over to the book of Hebrews real quick, and I'm trying to remember the verse that I'm looking for, but I believe it's in Hebrews chapter 13. But let's see if I'm correct on that. Give me just a second. Let's see if I can. No, it's not in Hebrews chapter 13. But not the one that I'm looking at, but the one I'm looking at is about Jesus, the prophecy of Jesus saying, in the midst of the church, I will sing praise unto thee. All right, so the Lord Jesus talked about a time when he was in the midst of the church, in the midst of the people of God. And I'm simply saying this, David wanted to be around the people of God, and why don't we have that desire? You see it less and less nowadays, don't you? People wanting to be around the people of God, people wanting to fellowship with one another. And part of the reason is we spend too much time worrying about the world and not worrying about our relationship with God and our relationship with one another. And so, and we've seen that here in this church. We've had to deal with low numbers and all that type of stuff, and some of it cannot be helped because of people's situations, but some of it could have been helped. There are people who used to go here that got discouraged or got upset, or maybe something happened. And it's kind of a funny thing. You know, the devil makes church to be something different. I can't remember exactly what I saw, a little adage that I saw, or meme, or whatever you want to call it, that I saw. But he's talking about, you know, when you had a bad day at work, you got up the next day and went back to work, didn't you? But people don't do that. They don't say, I want God to work in such a way that I can be there. I want to be there. I want to be in the midst of them. And he goes on, he talks about, in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock, and our rock is Jesus Christ, no doubt. And he said, now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto my Lord. And so, we don't see those victories because we don't have the same mindset. We live our lives in fear. We live our lives in timidity sometimes. We're worried about what other people are going to say. It might be folks in our family. It might be folks at the job. It might be a lot of different things that happen. It may be just we're afraid what the wicked are going to do. And Psalm 37 verse 1 says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and withers the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, and thou shalt dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. So we're not to be afraid. We're not to be envious. We're not to be intimidated. We're to stand. But the question is, what's the difference? Where's the problem? And I think when we get to verse 7 and we look down this passage of Scripture, I think we find the problem. In verse 7 it says, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. Now the first thing about David is he wanted an answer from God. You know, even when David was out and running for his life from Saul, and when things happened, you know what David did? He inquired of the Lord. At some point he put on an ephod, a garment. He put off his war garments, if you will, and he put on some an ephod. Ephod normally worn by a priest, but he was there and he walked forward and he inquired of the Lord. When the Amalekites came and burned Ziklag and took all the peoples that were with David, took all their families captive and everything, and took all their things, the people were upset and they were ready to stone David because they were blaming him, because they were following him. And the Bible tells us David encouraged himself in the Lord. And there's one thing about David. David wanted an answer from God. I think a lot of times we don't really want an answer to God. We just want God to fix something. We're not inquiring for information. We don't want to hear what God has to say about the subject. We just want Him to fix it. I'm suffering. Lord, get me out of my suffering. I'm sorrowful. Lord, give me some joy. I'm this, I'm that. Go down the line. We want God to step in and fix it. And don't get me wrong, God often does. And God tells us, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Psalm 55, verse 22. 1 Peter 5, 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And a lot of times we just come to him and we just want help. We just want. But you know, David was a little bit different. He wanted God's help. But he also wanted to hear from heaven. He didn't just want his circumstances dealt with. He wanted to hear something from God. He said, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me." And then in verse 8 he says, "When thou saidst, seek my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I see." Now there's another thing about David. When David understood that God was talking, and he got information from heaven, he acted upon it. And here he specifically said, When thou said, seek my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I see. The last time God spoke to you about something, what'd you do about it? When God spoke to you about a sin or a situation and said, seek my face, said, draw nigh unto me, what did you do about it? Did you start seeking the Lord? If you were in the services and God spoke to your heart, did you seek the Lord? You know, it's almost gotten to be passé in a lot of churches for folks to come down to an altar and kneel and pray. And I understand it could be fake as a $3 bill when somebody comes down and comes to an altar. I understand that. But that's neither here nor there. What it could be or what it is or anything like that. The only one that you could ever make sure was sincere would be yourself. You can't make sure anybody else is sincere. Well, what if somebody comes to the altar and they're not sincere, they're just doing it for show? Well, then you've got your answer. They're doing it for show. And verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But the bottom line is, if God spoke to your heart, when is the time where we're just not going to worry about what everybody else feels like? We're just going to say, I'm going to seek the Lord's face. God spoke to me about this. I need to seek Him. God wants me to deal with this. I have to deal with this now. God wants it. He said, when is the time when it gets to the point of getting down to just dealing with the emotion of the moment and there's a surrender of the heart? We talked Sunday about repentance and talked about the title of the sermon, Have You Repented Yet? And we talked about repentance. David is talking. He said, when thou saidst, seek my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I see. It wasn't something that was just coming from his head. It wasn't something that he was just prodded to. It was that his heart said, God wants me to seek his face. God wants me to desire to know him better, to see him better, to get a glimpse of his glory, of his face. And so I'm going to do that. From my heart, I'm going to seek his face. And that's what we need in this day and age. We've got to get to the point, beloved, where we hear God speak, and when he says, draw near, we draw near. When he says, seek, we seek. When he says, come, we come. When he says, follow, we follow. When he says, yield, we yield. When he says, go, we go. When he says, stay, we stay. Whatever it is. When he says give, we give. I mean, I could go down the list of things that God might speak to our heart about, and these may apply across the board. For example, when I say give, I'm not just talking about giving to the church. I'm not just talking about tithes and offerings. And I'm not just talking about faith promise missions either. It might be give your time, give yourself, give something you have. Whatever the case may be. But notice this came, he said, when thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I see. It came from David's heart. You know, we talk about salvation, and there's a lot of people that profess salvation, but you don't see any real evidence of it. You don't see change in their life. There's no difference, and the world sees it, and we see it. And then sometimes we're the ones that feel like the worst hypocrites in the world because of our own struggles with dealing with sin and temptation and dealing with the flesh and the pressures of the world and everything. And when we fail in that, we feel so bad. But you know, the sad thing about it is when we get to this issue of salvation and repentance, that's a heart matter too, isn't it? Repentance unto salvation is a matter of the heart. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. There's a humility there. There's a humbling of oneself. We have people that profess salvation that don't even believe that they deserve to go to hell. They don't believe that they've done anything that's worthy of that. And which just shows they don't understand the gravity and the wages of sin and the dreadfulness of sin. But if we get to the point where when God says, seek my face, and our heart says, thy face, Lord, I will seek. Thy face, Lord, will I seek. And then he says, hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. You know, he says, when Lord, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, thy face, Lord, will I seek. And then it's almost like he takes a look in the mirror, in that spiritual mirror, and says, hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. In other words, see, now he's looking at in that spiritual mirror, and he's saying, wait a minute, who am I to seek God? I mean, I deserve for God to just go away and hide his face from me. I don't have any claim on that. The only claim that we have, beloved, to seek God's face is that he called. He wants us to seek his face. He says to us, seek his face. If you look at yourself, you're going to say, you're going to be like David. If you're honest with yourself, you're going to say, Lord, don't hide your face from me. Put me away in your anger. I deserve your wrath, and I don't deserve your mercy. Don't put me away. Don't hide your face from me. Lord, I want to see your face. Don't forsake me. You know, so often, God is forsaken by us. You go into the Old Testament, and God says of Israel, my people have forgotten me days without number. My people have forgotten me. And it's just an amazing thing when we look at this, and what he's doing is, if we're honest about that, there may be some fear. there may be some fear that we don't deserve to be able to see the grace of God, the power of God, the mercy of God, the glory of God. We don't get to, you go back to the Old Testament, you go back to, I believe it's Exodus 33, and Moses, after he's dealt with the people of the golden calf, he's going back up in there to intercede for the people. And he intercedes for those people who've already forgotten God. And he says, I beseech thee, show me that glory. And God says, you can't see my face. He said, but I'll pass by and I'll proclaim the name of the Lord. I'll put you in the cleft of the rock. And I'll proclaim the name of the Lord. And I'll make my hinder parts pass by. And Moses couldn't do that, but God says, seek my face. Why would God tell us to seek his face when he told Moses, no man can see my face and live? Why would God do that? Because that's what we're looking for. That's what we're looking for. And when we look at our old hymns and things we sing, we talk about my Savior first of all. We talk about seeing Him as He is. We talk about all of those things. In that old hymn, Whiter Than Snow, it says, to those who have sought Thee, Thou never saidst no. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. We go back in those things that this principle is in all of our hymns, and it's something that we delight to remember, and especially in fundamental churches like us, Bible believing churches like us, and we love the old time hymns and sacred music and things like that. But let's not get too proud just because we've hung on to them. We ought to hear the message in them. And we're sitting here looking at this, and here we see David's heart. We see his fear in knowing that he's not worthy. But then he says in verse 10, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. We had a my second pastor, and his wife adopted many children. And a lot of the children they had were special needs children. And children came from bad situations, children that came from drugs. They had handicaps of different types and things like that. And they were, there's one thing I admired about him greatly, and admired about both of them greatly, was their willingness to just give themselves and take care of children that nobody else wanted, children that whose parents had abused them horribly, and or had been involved in drugs and liquor and everything else, and these children had lifelong medical issues because of this. And I can remember one of the little boys, his name was Joshua. And I can remember him getting up there, and his story was one of, and I probably won't get it 100%, but basically he'd been forsaken by his family. He had several medical issues and everything like that. He was... pretty much just the cast off. He wasn't the cutest little kid you'd ever see. But I tell you what, he was so tickled that he had a mom and daddy that loved him. And he was so tickled that God had brought him into that family. And he used to get up and he used to quote this verse. I remember watching him stand in front of the church one day and quote this verse. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. And you know, that's the way it is. So what I'm trying to say to you tonight is one of the reasons we live in fear is because we don't have the same mindset that God is showing us through David here tonight. We don't have this mindset that when God speaks to our heart, we just say, you know what, God wants me to seek Him, I'm going to seek. And we might get there and we might get there and say, boy, you know, nobody can see God. No man can see His face and live. And we might get there. We might get to that point of feeling like we're not worthy, and we're not. But I like what it says in John chapter 1. If you'll turn over to John chapter 1. You see, I'm not worthy. But in the book of John, chapter 1, if I can find this, in verse 18, it says, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. And so it's no wonder when Philip came to Jesus in John chapter 14 and said, Lord, show us the Father and it sufficeth us. It's no wonder He said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me has seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and in the Father in me? We have a way to look into the eyes of our Heavenly Father. And we may feel like we're not worthy, but it's the Lord that makes us worthy. But here's the point. Here's the whole point. When we look at that, the question is, do we have that mindset? Do we have that desire? Is that heart? What is your heart's desire when God speaks to you? Are we getting like the Israelites where we just hope He speaks to the preacher and just leaves us alone? And go on, preacher, tell us what God said, but I don't want to talk to Him myself. I don't want to get that close. I'm kind of scared of what He's going to do. I'm kind of scared of what He's going to want. I'm kind of scared of what I'm going to have to give up. I'm kind of scared of where He's going to lead me and where He's going to take me. Verse 11, He says, teach me Thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemy. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. Our Savior had to deal with false witnesses. But you know what David is saying there, and God through him, He's saying, teach me Thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. When we get to seeking God and we get to seeking to understand His ways, one of the biggest reasons to do that is because we have enemies. We have an accuser of the brethren that accuses us before God day and night. We have the world. We have our own flesh. Jesus talked about the time would come when a man's foes, enemies and foes would be they of his own household. And we're seeing a lot of that today, aren't we? And it's getting to that point even more. We see it coming upon us. So why would we not want to know God's way now? But there's a thing, there's that pleading. And then in verse 13... You know, as we've gone through this, we've seen surrender. humility, surrender. We've seen a heart's desire, a true repentance, if you will. We've seen a desire to do that, and we get down to verse 13, and he said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I would have quit if I hadn't believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I want to see God, the goodness of God in my lifetime. I'm not quitting because I believe that God's going to do something in my life. I believe I'm going to get to see God accomplish something. I'm not just waiting for something to happen when I go to heaven. When we go to heaven, it's going to be wonderful. It's going to be magnificent. The former things won't be remembered, neither will they come to mind. Every old ugly thing that I have to deal with in my memory, from the day that I was born all the way through, everything that I have heard about my family, and I've heard some crazy things about my family in my time, and I've got ancestors, and the problem is, with all those people that came before us, they were sinners too, and they got some ugly stories to go about them. And I've seen some crazy things go on in my family, and things that I wish, there are things in my family I wish I'd never known. And one day I'll never know them again. And one day there'll be no sorrow, no sickness, no pain, no wickedness, no lies, no thieves, no murderers, no whoremongers, no idolaters, no unfearful, no unbelievers. That's going to be a day. But what about now? What about tonight? Are you expecting? Do you believe that God's going to do a miracle? Do you believe that God still wants to change lives? That He wants to change you? Do you believe that God still wants to save souls? Do you believe that God still wants to do things that will show the world His glory and His mercy and His power and His judgment? Do you believe do you want to see the goodness of God? Do you believe that you will? Kind of wonder a lot of times. Seems like a lot of folks are just kind of hanging on, hoping, well, I'll just be glad when Jesus comes. It's got to be soon. But what about today? No wonder Jesus said, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith in the earth. But what is He going to do? Is He going to find faith with us? And I'm just trying to get you to understand something. The difference between David and us, in a lot of cases, in this simple thing, and the biggest problem we have is God speaks to us and we don't respond from the heart. He says, do this, seek my face, and we don't seek His face. And we get to the point to where we start getting fearful and we stop believing that God's going to do something. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. How do I get past all that? How do I get past the fear? How do I get to the point where I can sing and truly mean, the Lord is my light and my salvation? Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Well, he says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. That word wait is an interesting word. When we talk about waiting on somebody, we most often use it in the terms of looking for someone to come and do something. In other words, we're waiting for somebody else to take action. Somebody to show up. Somebody to step up. Somebody to fess up. But it also has the connotation of service, doesn't it? That's why we have waiters and waitresses. And wait upon the Lord doesn't mean sit there and just wait for God to do something. It means engage yourself while you're looking for the coming of the Lord and you're hasting into that day. The scripture is clear, the idea of waiting means service as well. And yes, you can have service and you can be in do a lot of service and have a lot of activity and still have not have a right heart. We've already established that. I can't help it if you lie about your service. There's nothing I can do about it. Only person in service that I can ensure comes from the heart is my own. And if you lie about your service and why you're doing it, but what we do while we wait on God to come, while we wait on the Lord to reveal Himself to us, while we wait on the Lord to teach us, we take what we know and we use it for His service now, and we're busy waiting. Most people don't think of waiting as being busy. But we need to be busy, don't we? We don't have time. I mean, if there's somebody that's lost and dying, they don't have time. They don't really have time for you to have a bless God, amen, hallelujah revival. They need to hear the gospel today, don't they? Now, I want a bless God, amen, hallelujah revival, don't you? Or do we? Because the question is, when God says, seek my face, does our heart say, thy face, Lord, will I seek? Does our heart say, Lord, teach me thy way? Help me. I know I don't deserve. To come to your throne, but you told me I could by the blood of Jesus. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Where do we get the power to continue to serve? Because He strengthens our heart. We wait on Him, yes, we're waiting for God to do something. But our waiting does not mean inactivity. It means a right heart going out and doing God's will from the heart. Doing that which we know. For many times, and one of the things that I've often said when people ask me about how will I find the will of God for my life, I tell them, you find the will of God by doing the will of God. You do what you know you're supposed to do now. And as you yield yourself to God, He'll make more plain to you. He'll guide you. He'll lead you. He'll teach you. But we've got to get to the point to where when God says, come, we come. When God says, seek, we seek. When God says, stop, we stop. When He says, go, we go. When He says, forgive, we forgive. When He says, seek forgiveness, we seek forgiveness. When He says, make it right, we do it. When He says, love them, we love them. When He says, seek my face, we seek. We just got to get to that point where we just, our heart, responds back to God. and says, Lord, I'm going to do what you said. I'm going to seek your face. And you might be here tonight, and you might say to yourself, you might say, oh, preacher, that ship's already sailed. God spoke to my heart and I disobeyed. Well, welcome to the club. I think we can all say at least one time or another we've been there. And, you know, in this day and age, it almost seems like we live there, doesn't it? But I will remind you that Jesus told a parable of a man who had two sons. And he said, go and work in my vineyard. And the one said, Father, I go, and went not. And the other one says, I go not, but afterward he repented and went. And he asked the question, whether of the twain did his father's will. We don't want to be the ones that stand up and shout to the world, I'm going. And not go. And praise the Lord for everybody who stands up boldly and says, I'm going. But I'll tell you, it's just as noble if you said, I won't go, to repent and turn around and just say, okay, Lord, I've learned, I'm going. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to. I'm going to seek your face the way I'm supposed to. That's what we need, beloved. Let's go, Lord, in prayer tonight, and let's ask His help, and then we'll close out the service. Father, I thank You so much for Your love and Your kindness and Your mercy toward us. Lord, help us when You speak to our heart to just simply say, Lord, what You say, my heart longs to do. I'm going to do from my heart that which You've commanded me to do. When You've called me, I'm going to come, and when You send me, I'm going to go, and Lord, I just want to do this thing from my heart. Father, You know every person that's here. If there's one that's lost, maybe they've heard the gospel so many times, and they've said, maybe they've even spoken the words, I know I need to get saved, but, and then there's I'm not ready, or I'll do it later, or whatever. Lord, I just pray that today would be the day they'd say that, you know what, my time's running out. I've been a fool, and I need to put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ and call upon Him as my Savior. Lord, that they would not only confess with their mouth, but believe in their heart that Jesus died for our sins, paid them in full, was buried, and rose again the third day. Lord, that they would call on the Lord Jesus, and You promise, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I just pray for their salvation. Father, for those who are saved and know they're saved, they've trusted Christ as their Savior, they have that assurance in their own hearts, they know they're a child of God, they know that the Spirit of God dwells in them. Lord, it's so easy for us to get in the flesh and not yield the way we should. And Lord, it's a shameful thing when Your own children hear Your call and we don't do anything about it. So Lord, help us to understand. Help us to just change, and to help us to get to the point where we just simply say, when God says to seek Him, I'm going to seek. Lord, one day we'll get to see You face to face. But right now, we seek for glimpses, and we seek to see, and we have a Savior that shows us our Father. So help us to keep our eyes on Him. We thank You in Jesus' name. We ask You to bless the service, bless the preaching, bless the people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. All right, I'm going to leave you.